we consistently rank as one of the best cities in the world and in the country to be a student. We consistently rank as one of the top experience schools and satisfaction schools for students. It's one of the hardest schools to get into. 95% of the students aren't from here. So why are they coming here? This is like their dream school. They could have got in anywhere and they're not from here. So they're here for a reason. This is where they want to be. And when you make a campus full of people that really truly want to be there, and they're not just there because it's their hometown or because it's their second choice, but this is their dream destination, there's a different vibe. And it's unlike anything I've experienced. And I've worked at a few schools.
Hello and welcome to At the 55, your home for OUA football. Me and Tom are back on the mics for episode 8 of the Exit Meeting series. Today we're talking about the Queens Golden Gales, and Tom, I'll leave it to you to announce who we have on the show. So Tom, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing so, so well. We have a very special guest. You got to give me a second because I got to go through a list of accolades here. 2009 AUS All-Star. We've got the 2012 Junior Mustangs OVFL champion, a back-to-back Loney Bowl champion in 2015 and 2016, Yates Cup back-to-back champion in 2017-2018, and a Vanier Cup champion in 2017, and the 2021 Head Coach of the Year, Steve Snyder, the fifth head coach for the Queens Golden Gales. It is such a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. I feel like I should be walking down towards the ring at MGM in Las Vegas right now or something.
We can make a couple more years. You might be there.
We'll make it happen. You know, Coach, there's so many things, directions I want to go with this. And with Tom reading off all those experiences you've had coaching, understandably, there's things we want to ask that are about your football career. Obviously, most specifically, we want to talk about Queens. But just hearing that intro, I got to ask. So 2012, you know, with the OVFL, with the Junior Mustangs, and then it's 10 years later, and then the OSFL, your brother leading those Junior Mustangs with me on the staff as his offensive line coach to another championship. I mean, the London football scene is certainly something that is just is a well-known commodity. But how neat was that a moment for you seeing, you know, your brother then taking the same team that you were leading 10 years after the fact to another championship? Did that kind of resonate with you in that component?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Kingston football is something special, but London football will always have a place in my heart and continues to have a place for me and certainly my family. Think, you know, I love what my brother's doing in London. He's obviously, you know, full steam ahead with the Beefeaters. You know, we had great experiences both with the London Junior Mustangs. Mine was a little different. I was, you know, just an assistant on the staff with Coach Bertoia leading the way, but you know, my brother got his opportunity to lead the program as well. And, you know, we both brought home titles for those programs or for that program. And I think, you know, when you're going to dedicate your whole summer to something, it's nice to come away with a win.
Most definitely. Sticking into your own personal background before we really get going into the Golden Gales here. Like I said, obviously a list of championships and a list of accolades that goes along with that, not to mention your own brief stint out in Germany, playing there and being the offensive coordinator out for the Osnabrück Tigers. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Yeah. So with that, you have obviously such a wealth of experience already, both playing in the out in the East, coming back to Ontario, being the special teams coordinator for Windsor, going back out East, coming back and being the offensive coordinator at Western, where you have the years of success and building into being the fifth head coach for Queens football, which with a team that has such a history is also just insane to me that you're just number five in there. With all of that, what are some of the key takeaways that you learned in your time, both as a player and as a coach, that you've now brought to the Golden Gales here?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, not that long ago, I kind of felt like a really young coach. And now looking back, it's like I'm actually over a decade now at university football in this country. And that's, wow, that's flown by. But a lot of great things have happened for sure. I've been fortunate to be a part of a lot of great programs and come across incredible people. You know, that's not just coach speak. I know everybody likes to drop those lines. But for me, I'll tell you what, you know, Gary Waterman out at St. FX. Gary's the most underrated guy around, man. He's unbelievable. Got all the time in the world for him. Good friend of mine. And you know, he coached me when I was a player. He was a head coach for my senior year, and then to be able to go back and work really side by side with him to rebuild that program into something special and what it is today. He's a guy that had a big impact on me. Coach Marshall at Western, I think everybody that comes through that program takes a lot from him. He's absolutely one of the best to ever do it. Coach Bertoia, I worked closely with him in the summer, and he coached me, and he coached me when I was at St. FX and coached me with London Beefeater. So we go back a little bit. And I'm always grateful to Joe DeMore for giving me the opportunity and just trusting me, you know, as a young guy to run with it. And then when I came to Queens, you know, I was actually, I believe at the time, the youngest head coach in the country. I was 33 years old when I signed to be the head coach at Queens. So, and even that, you know, 5 years now rolling with this program, and that's flown by. And I've learned a lot just being here at Queens, you know, just every year that goes by, you just, I think you just get a little bit more wise, you know, you just slow it down a little bit and you take it in stride a little bit better. And, but the key to Queens is just, the support that we have, you know, the incredible support from the university and the unmatched support from the alumni and the support that I have with the assistant coaching staff that I wouldn't trade for the world.
I love you. You bring up Gary Waterman's name, Coach Waterman's name, and all those great names. Cause literally me and Tom and talking about all our prep before this, we're just at one point, like there aren't enough Gary Waterman conversations, amongst you sports.
There is not
folks. But keeping that sort of U Sports perspective, but starting to now focus in on Queens, because the last time the three of us got to speak was at Richardson Stadium at the Vanier, the first of two that your school is hosting. And I kind of have a two-part question in this. One, thinking about, obviously, you had the two back-to-back battles with Western in Yates Cups falling short, and then Western proceeded to fall short in their national semifinal runs themselves. So part A of the question is, when you get to see these conference championship teams from outside of Ontario do battle, and just seeing how some of them had success against Western, what kind of takeaways do you have watching those games in particular just up close? And what was just the experience like in general hosting the Vanier? I mean, me and Tom have spoken just so highly of that experience and what a just show it was. And thinking about just in the context of getting to do it another year from, or less than a year from now as well.
Yeah, well, I thought the Vanier Cup this year was incredible. Like, I went and just to get it straight, I think the nation deserves that game to be well done, you know, and there have been a lot of hosts over the years that have done a great job with it, including, previous year's host as well. But man, just having it like, on a university campus, at a place that loves football like Queens, I thought it was incredible, and it was just our way of supporting the game. The game needed a host, guys. Like, the game was screaming for someone to host it, so we stepped up. And you know, it's really actually a credit to our athletic director Linda Melnick, who's new on the job, and she jumped in and wanted to make a splash, and did she ever. Her staff put on a show. And at one point I was there just kind of taking it in, trying to be a fan a little bit of Canadian University football, and I got my phone out, and I was in the Montreal section, and Montreal was had UBC backed up, and I'm trying to hold my phone and it's shaking. It was incredible. So glad we can host it again next year, and hopefully it's another great show. And I would highly encourage anybody from across the country, if you love Canadian University football, you are going to want to be at Richardson Stadium for the Vanier Cup. I don't know if I've seen a better atmosphere in a long, long time. So, and then just in regards to your other question about, maybe the out-of-conference teams, all the conferences are a little bit different. Can West certainly kind of has a bit of a style of football. And whether you like it or not, most of the conferences kind of blend into themselves a little bit. They morph into themselves a little bit. Certainly the AUS did when I was out there. The teams become kind of similar a little bit, and Quebec is similar. And the OUA is the one that there's 11 teams, and it's pretty multiple. You know, from week to week, you actually get a lot of different style of play. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of guys that have come from certain coaching trees, so there's elements of similarity, but in reality, it's a pretty diverse conference. I don't know if there's a recipe for going at a conference and winning. I don't think there's one thing that holds true, because sometimes you just get a team that's coming out and they are senior heavy, they're talented, they're loaded, they got a mission. And I think that's what Montreal was this year. You know, I don't know if anybody was going to stop them. So I don't think it's a knock on anybody for getting beat by them. That was, that kind of felt like a dream team a little bit to an extent. Did they ever put it all together? And every couple of years, I think you're going to get that. You're going to get somebody coming out of their conference that is pissed off on a mission, full of older guys. We've got a lot to prove, and they happen to be more talented than everybody, you know, and they got a coaching staff that gets their guys ready to go situationally and has kept them healthy and put them on a run. So certainly my experience at a conference, I've you know, seen some different matchups, traveling out west with St. FX to play Calgary, hosting UBC, going out east to play Acadia, hosting Saskatchewan, and all those games were different. They all felt completely different. So, you know, I think that's kind of one of the unique things about Canadian university football, is just the geography, the landscape, how different the conferences are. And those national semifinals, you know, we can put on a pretty good product with some of those matchups.
Mm-hmm. I've had the chance to be at a few Vanier Cups myself, both at Tim Hortons Field and, you know, out in BC. There are few atmospheres that match Kingston. Because like you said, it is such a football town. People appreciate the game so much. So I have to reiterate what you said. If you care about football at all, if you want to see it at its best, go watch a Queens game, and especially the Vanier Cup this year. It's just such an awesome atmosphere to be a part of. Sticking with your own route to Queens here, when you look at this organization, obviously, you've done a phenomenal job in your short tenure with the Gaels so far. You went to back-to-back Yates Cups a couple years ago. You won the 2021 Coach of the Year. So your acumen and your ability to coach there is second to none. But as you're stepping into this program in 2019, coming on board with the expectations that are at Queens, with the alumni association that's there that cares about the program and where this program expects to be, what is your first thoughts as you're walking in there? Is there anything that's, you know, this seems daunting to you, or are you just excited for the challenge as you're walking in?
Yeah, just excited for the challenge. I mean, it ended up being right up my alley. I love the pageantry of university football. You know, when I hear drums and see college football, that's kind of what gets me excited. And I love the history of the game. I love history in general. That's my thing. So I've always wanted to coach wherever I've went. I've tried to pull the history out of it like crazy. You know, when I was at St. FX as a coach, we brought back so many things and instilled such program pride and leaned on the history. Certainly my time with Western tried to contribute to that as well. And then at Queens, it was like you're in football heaven for that. So we pulled a lot of things, you know, back out of the archives, so to speak, and brought them back into the daily regiment with the program. Like, we're always almost I would say every day we're with our team, we are pulling on something and celebrating it. So, you know, when I first got there, it was about obviously shaking it up, but at the same time respecting the previous staff, because they had done a tremendous job, you know, and accomplished some great things, and respecting the tradition of the program. But then shaking it up a little bit, you know, and there was a big time excitement level of just bringing that fiery energy to, you know, putting things on their head a little bit and changing it up and seeing who was about adjusting and buying into change and who wanted to see this thing get turned around and put in a different direction. And we had a lot of great senior players who said, we want to be known for, you know, as we're on our way out, we want to be known for embracing the change and being the leaders of that change. And we got some incredible guys that, that really just sold out to the new way of doing things. And it's a credit to them, because they really helped us. And we've been able to recruit well since we've been there as well. So a lot of new talent coming in. And those guys come in with, you know, high expectations on and off the field. They're buying into all things Queens, which is a very well-rounded, experienced school.
Well, you mentioned the players on the field. At the end of the day, all the pageantry of the world doesn't mean a thing if it's not for the talent. And the talent in the league right now is immense. And your team is up there with the best of them as far as just going through depth charts and being like, you're telling me this, there's, you know, by the standings, three teams that finished above this team. Like when we look at guys like, just talking about that defense, if we could just start with that. You know, you look at a guy like Silas Hubert, for one, who misses so much the season, comes back like he doesn't miss a beat in him being out of there. A guy in Van Wishart just stepping up. It's seemingly Queens always having just a star pass rusher. And it's like, all right, well, Hubert's out. I guess it's Wishart, and he does that job. And with Darian Newell as well. And, you know, just Ashton Miller-Melanson and old man Eric Colonna, Stefan E. Sutherland, and the linebacking core. Like, just that defense, not just by the players themselves, but then you add in, of course, what McManus has been doing there year after year, and just by the numbers, was just, you know, I can only imagine, two former offensive linemen on the other side of this podcast with you, just the fits it must have been for teams preparing to take on that defense. Whether it's any of those individuals, your guy coordinating the whole thing and Ryan McManus, or just you know, any angle, that defense you had, Coach, was something darn special to behold.
Yeah, it really was. And we've played really good defense for three consecutive seasons now. We've been one of the top defenses in the OUA, you know, each and every year for the last three seasons. And this year, I think we solidified ourselves as one of the top defenses in Canada. It's a disruptive group, you know, whether we're tackling for a loss or sacking the quarterback or batting a ball down or picking it off or forcing a fumble or recovering a fumble. You know, we take pride in those types of disruptions. And you talk about a headache. It's a headache for our offensive staff and training camp, just getting through those couple weeks. And then you get into regular season play and everything seems, at least schematically, to be maybe a little bit more straightforward as you're getting ready for the OUA opponents. But Coach Beck has solidified himself, I think, as one of the top, you know, defensive coordinators in the country, a true player's coach, a guy you want to come and play for. I'll tell you, our guys love him. And he's been around the block. You know, he's learned from some of the best, whether it was playing or coaching here at Queens and then going and running the show at Carleton a little bit and then coming back, all those years and all those different things he's had to do. He's really found, you know, a comfort zone in how we do things now. And everywhere he's gone, you know, the defensive line has followed. Whether he was at Carleton or his time back at Queens, consistently the best defensive linemen have come and played for him. And he's had the production there, and we continue to have it. I think our defensive line this year was spectacular. And, you know, we got hit with injuries, as a lot of teams did. I certainly don't want to take that away from anybody else, because it felt like down the stretch, the star power in the OUA was on the sideline. But, you know, our defense definitely took a hit. And, you know, Silas having that year he had as a second-year guy winning the OUA Metris and then following it up with missing essentially the entire season outside of, you know, two games, really. That was tough, you know, but really great group, that back end led by Eric Colonna, who's graduating and moving on. He's been the most dedicated player in our program 2 years in a row, winning that award. And then the linebacking core, Justin Pace really emerged as our defensive MVP, and Olivier Mwembe, a transfer, came in and filled a gap for us, and Liam Sutherland and Josh McBain and Brady Spafford. It was a great group.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, like you said, just in the OUA, at least, I didn't have a chance to pull U Sports numbers, but you're the number one defense in team points per game, the number one rush defense. And then on the offensive side, you're the number one rush offense in the entirety of the OUA. And especially when you have teams like the Western Mustangs that pride themselves, to have that accolade and to see what Jared Kasari was doing this past year was unbelievable. When you start looking at that, and even when you start looking at this past season, and like you said, a lot of teams experience injuries, certainly, but this year for you, especially in your squad, you had a lot of them in a lot of key areas, you know, Silas Hubert and Alex Vreeken and such. And even with that, you still go 5-3. You have arguably one of the toughest schedules to start, where you start off against Laurier, you have a game against Toronto, and then Western and Windsor back to back. So to go through that and to still be a 5-3 team and still have so much potential, especially leading into the playoffs, I think more than anything just speaks to the culture around the program where it really is a next man up mentality and going forward. And I know you won't say it, but I will. In that Windsor game, if Alex Vreeken is playing or if you get a little bit more time with that pass rush that Windsor has, I think that's a very different game. And I think you come away with that one. So this team really showcased, like I said, a ton of versatility and a lot of strength going through that. What makes up that mentality? Is that something that you and your staff bring to the program, or is that the players themselves as they come in to really get to that point?
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things. Football is a mentality sport for sure. We make that clear. In football, the mindset that you take into it is critical. So you get that's kind of where it starts. And our team certainly has a mindset that we work on all the time. We're working on it tomorrow morning with the guys, you know. It's something that, you know, is all year round. And that mindset at our program translates to program pride. We're a very proud program, guys. You know, I don't know what to tell you. And there's a lot of proud programs, but we're certainly one of them. And when you come to play at Queens, you take tremendous pride in winning for Queens and being a part of Queens. And all that's come before you and all you're about to put down for, you know, to be remembered. And I don't think the guys are about to back down from anyone, and they're not about to give up. So we just had to draw a line in the sand, essentially, halfway through the season. You know, look back, we were 1-3, but we had lost some tight games to some really good football teams, and we felt like we had played really well at times, but also knew that maybe we'd held ourselves back a little bit. And we just kind of rallied up and said we got too much pride to go down like this. So the guys took ownership of it, as they always do. It's a player driven culture here, so players are quick to step up and take it by the, you know, take the bull by the horns, and they did that. We were able to, you know, wrap off 5 in a row, put ourselves into the playoffs and host, and then win another one and go for a matchup, you know, in the semifinal. So just proud of our team, how we responded. I think a lot's been learned from this season, you know, despite it may be statistically not looking the same and maybe an earlier exit from the playoff. I think you could make an argument we were closer to beating the Yates Cup champion this year than we were the last 2 years, and we played in the Yates Cup the last 2 years. So that's kind of the way we look at it. We still felt at the end of the day we were probably a better football team this year. And the success – oh, sorry, I got a little update on my computer jumping in here. There we go. And the success, you know, doesn't always just look like a straight up the hill type of deal, you know, and sometimes you take a step back, you fall a little bit, you stumble. But if you can, you know, get a hold of yourself and realize what just happened and how to make this a little bit better, you can end up going really quickly back up that hill and get to new heights, you know, that maybe weren't possible before without that knowledge that you got from the stumble. So that's the way we're looking at it. Our team's fully embraced that and really proud of the way the guys are getting to work this winter so far.
On that point of just, yeah, success is rarely linear the way we hope it to be. And if you're just looking at the surface, maybe you think that you know, a team took a step back and all these things, but you of course mentioned how you played that eventual Yates Cup champion team, of course, being the Western Mustangs in two affairs. And that playoff game, of course, you know, they pull away a bit late, but early on, you know, and you mentioned his name already, it's your guy Josh McBain with the big pick six, and everyone's thinking, oh my God, this is it. The team's healthy. They're on this roll that you talked about, you know, and here we go. We're in London. It's going to happen. But of course, rewind almost 2 months ago. It's in your house. And if not for one of the highlights of the year, and I hate to bring up what's, I imagine, a painful memory, the MTS connection of Hillock and Magne Jones to snatch that one at the end. I just have to ask, like, what was that moment like on your side against this team that you've just been on battling with 2 years consecutively for the championship? They're in your house. And just walk us through that moment.
Gut-wrenching. Anything but a highlight, man. Anything but a highlight. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? It was a gut-wrencher, you know, and but you don't dwell on it. You got to just learn from it and move on, and that's what we did. And I think you also have to give credit where it's due, and they're a heck of a football team, and their two guys stepped up and made a big time play. So for us, it was definitely an emotional way to finish the game, I think, and a gut wrenching would be the word I would use, about as gut wrenching as I've been a part of in my coaching career. But again, it just an opportunity to learn and grow. And I think if you look at all the guys that have been around, whether it's players or coaches, and certainly the coaches who have been around a long time and had a lot of success, they've went through moments. Like, it's not all, sometimes you're looking at it like the right now, and they've had their success right now and it's going well and feels like maybe it's always been going well. But the guys that have been through it and built long careers of success have had those gut-wrenching moments. And the difference between them and some of the guys who have fallen off is they've just learned from it and gotten better from it. And those gut-wrenching moments usually don't repeat themselves. You know, you might get another one, but not that same situation happening again. And that's kind of the approach we're taking.
Yeah, certainly. And when you start looking at the rest of this season here, like you said, you rattle off and you finish off, that's 4-0 to go into the playoffs, but you have that post game against Western, and then Windsor comes, and then York, you establish yourself, and it's 87-0. And York has their own problems, but that gets you back on the right kind of path. And then once again, going back into the mentality of it, you beat a good Carleton team 35-16. You squeeze out a victory against Guelph, that a Griffin team that I think is very underrated. They had a lot of potential and a lot of superstars, and you did a great job 24-17. And then another tight game against the GGs at 12-8, and you really get on a roll there. More than anything, and we already mentioned, I mentioned his name very briefly here, but like we talked about with that defense, Jared Kasari and that offensive line is some of the best run plays that I have seen in a very long time. It is no surprise that the Queen's Gales have been in the top echelon of the OUA. And when you look at the All-Stars, they are almost completely dominated by, on the O&D line, Queens and Western. And that directly translates to the success that you have had in your past few years here. Can you just talk about your thoughts on that amazing Queens run game with Jared Kasari and that offensive line, like we said?
Yeah, well, I think from the day we got here as a staff, we wanted to establish ourselves as the premier line of scrimmage school in the country. We knew that we could get there, but that it was going to take some time. But we were going to attack it with urgency and go after it and make that the expectation. And I think we're working our way to that right now. We're the type of school that can attract elite line of scrimmage players. So we can't hide from that because we can be. So we're going to go do it. And I think that's what we're trying to do right now. So establishing, that line of scrimmage play, in particular in the interior defensive line and then on the offensive line, is critical, because that's really the key to, the situational run stuff, where you can just, run when you need to and people have a tough time stopping it. And our offensive line, I thought this year was tremendous. Three veterans that have been playing for us since our first year. They were part of that first recruiting class. They've all been all conference players, led by Ryan Berta in the middle, essentially a 5-year starter, a 4-year starter at center, in his fifth year with that COVID season canceled. But those guys did a great job, and then Jared Kasari, he's obviously athletic. He's fast. He's got a great feel for the position, but he's a very competitive, like internally motivated, young guy who just can get after it. And when he gets his juices going for game day, he wants to battle. He wants to play. He wants to compete. He wants to win. So that, in combination of an elite offensive line with some great additional, pieces with the H-backs that we have and some of the receiver blocking that we have on the perimeter, I think it's a great combination.
And obviously those other two linemen you referenced being Evan Florin and Theo Grand, yeah, and that whole trio, of course, having been invited to CFL, CFL training camps, if memory serves, and connecting with the idea of when you talked about Coach Beck and always attracting great defensive line players and talent, and whether it's at Queens and Queens in general, you can say the same with the offensive line, it seems, year in, year out. And I have to imagine for the Queens faithful out there, seeing guys like that, and I guess just assuming they're moving on, they just, you know, you just see it year in, year out. You're like, well, we're going to have the next great group of offensive linemen. That's what you get when you sign on to be a part of the Queens Golden Gales and cheer them on. But you know, with Kasari, I mean, obviously as a standout running back, you know, the best in the country, really. And then, but you also get to add into the mix a guy in Anthony Soles, who, you know, as a minor kind of joke, like, is there ever any bickering when like Kasari rushes for 250, gets like no touchdowns, and Soles is there to just plunge them in for the touchdowns? Like, do you ever have to put out any fires there? But then also guys like Jaden Kerr and Jaden Blackman as a couple younger runners in the mix as well. With Kasari, I don't know exactly his situation. I believe he was on a Masters this past year, so I don't know if that means he's gone. But just like the depth of just that consistency of always having these top talents at the offensive line. I mean, I don't know. You got some guys, all right, coaching them up on the offensive line. I don't know. You might be able to do better, but he's okay, I guess. But then all this depth waiting in the wings at running back as well. I mean, that must be a great feeling, knowing that you might be losing some of these absolute talents, but that there is depth there still.
Yeah, we've recruited well on the offensive line, and we got some young kind of next guys up, and we certainly hope they're the next great wave. There's a lot of work in front of them to be done, but some of the best offensive linemen across the country and certainly across the province are coming to Queens, and they want to come to Queens. They see the value we put on the offensive line. They see the development model in place. They see the commitment through the scheme, and they want to play for proud program, you know, and they want to get an elite education, and they want to do it in, you know, perhaps the best university city in the country. So we're naturally attracting some of the best players you can get at that position. And then I think it's important to load up at running back a little bit. You know, you want to be able to rotate guys in. It's a physical position. You get banged up, you get worn down a little bit. There's some different skill sets at that position naturally. If you just go and grab four or five running backs, they're all a little different, you know, and you can find different ways to use each and every one of them. So that's something we've taken pride in, is trying to fill that stable of guys that all do something a little bit different, and they can all add value. And we've done that. You know, we felt good about a lot of guys this year. Now, Jared emerged as the featured guy, and it was hard to take him off the field, but we still felt like we had great depth at the position. And now we're restocking that shelf now. Through recruiting, we've landed a couple big time running back recruits already, and we're just going to continue to try to load up and make it one of the deepest rooms in the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, to talk about the offense, but to also once again try to give you the flowers that you so rightly deserve. In 2009, for the St. Effect's Axemen, you are the third passer in passing yards per game in all of U Sports, and third in touchdown passes in all of U Sports, which, for those of you who don't remember, have a couple of quarterbacks named Danny Brannigan, named Michael Falls, named Eric Glavick, and you are right there slinging the rock for the St. Effect's Axemen. Obviously, we've gone through your coaching accolades as an offensive coordinator. You've seen a ton of success and really showcased some fantastic players that you've had access to, but the schemes in order to make them successful. When you start taking a look at this Queens team, and obviously you have Tom Flaxman, who's a hell of an offensive coordinator. My last year at Mac, I had a chance to see him as well, so I have nothing but high praise for him. You have this outstanding run game that you've had for the past few years and dominating that line of scrimmage, like you said, which takes so much pressure off of your quarterback, especially in the scenarios that you've had in the past couple of seasons where Alex Vreeken has to step in for an injured quarterback, and then you have Anthony Leo this past year. When you start looking at the offense itself and the progression of it, of course, you still want that outstanding run game. But Alex Vreeken now, providing he stays healthy, we're knocking on wood, because this league is better with Vreeken in it. How is his progression going to continue on as now turning into, I'm sure, one of the top five, at least, quarterbacks in the OUA. Is there a little bit more? And I don't want you to give away any secrets, obviously, but I think he can now start to take on some more of the offense here. And so now having a two-headed attack with the run game and a healthy veteran Alex Vrekin, I think is a really dangerous spot for other teams to be in. Talk about his progression and as that offense evolves with him.
Yeah, the offense definitely evolved with him. And I think this year was a little misleading with some of the stats. You know, we obviously finished, you know, first in the country in rushing, and it seemed like we were just a running team. But early in the season, you know, we had a pretty dynamic offense, you know, explosive pass game, throwing the ball all over, you know, the field early in the year. And then he gets injured, you know, and we tried to kind of maintain some of that style of offense and realized that, you know, maybe that wasn't going to be sustainable through this game stretch we were about to go in, or at least maybe not sustainable, but maybe not give us the best opportunity. So we shifted a little bit more to some bigger personnel and a little bit more heavy run to kind of get us through and create an identity and put, you know, make things simpler in the back end for the quarterback to look at and kind of, you know, just take a different approach to playing offensive football. But then when Alex came back for the playoff game, we tried to get back to that more balanced, dynamic game. And that's ultimately, you know, who we want to be. We want to be a dynamic offense that's really tough to predict and tough to defend because we can run it and throw it. And Alex is the key to that, without a doubt. He's developed great in his time here. And coming back off that injury, he really, like, practiced three times and then was playing in that playoff game. So I don't know if he was at his best, but he was still pretty good in that game and showed, you know, if you watch that game closely, some of the throws he made and some of the style of plays we were calling definitely cater to his skill set.
And that versatility in the run game specific, obviously with a guy like Nicholas Henning in that H position, you know, I think back to that Guelph game Tom already brought up where there's so, as again, just with two former offensive linemen, the motion that you use to set up certain runs where he's lining up on one side, cutting across, you're adding guys into the box, bombing them in. It's a joy and having all those weapons and with, you know, everyone healthy, it just creates that much more excitement to watch this offense at full force. I want to ask you a question sort of again, going back to your experience at a variety of levels through Canadian football, U sports outside of outside of our province, and even a little international football, where we talked about what a great showing the Vanier was in Kingston, how immensely talented the OUA is right now, and you know, highlighting Montreal and UBC this year, and all these clubs and St. Effects, what they're doing, and like just the depth across the board, given all the touch points you've had with football in this country and in the position you are in now, what are the steps? And it kind of goes back to what we talked about with progress not always being linear. So I don't mean to make that mistake in saying that it has to be, but what would be the things that you would like to see in terms of growth of our game at the university level, and maybe it's that starts at a more grassroots level, but just with how talented the players are right now, with how many incredible coaches there are, and just how strong these programs are. What is, if there was one thing that you would want to see, U sports wise in the OUA, what's just something you're hoping is like a next step for our game?
Wow, that's a big question. I'll tell you what, I'll say this, you know, you guys did your prep. Like, I appreciate you guys, even just the reference to the Osnabrück Tigers. I'll tell you what, that was an amazing 2 years for me, you know, coaching the U18 team there, English second language kids playing football. Some of them, it was their first time. Some of them had been over to the U.S. playing high school football and then coming back and then playing as well and coaching the team that I was playing on as well. That those were two of the best years of my life, you know, and I met my wife there. It was great. But you know, I've learned a lot. You know, one of the best things I ever did was just move around a little bit, you know, trust the game of football and let it take you for a ride. And, you know, going out east to play and going out east to coach and going to Windsor to coach and coming back to London and moving around, it's all been great stuff. And I don't, there's not one thing, you know, we got to improve a lot of little things. But I'll throw it back to you guys a little bit and give you your guys credit. This is kind of what's important, because we have a great product. All right. It's no offense to the live streams or anything like that, but if ESPN came and did our games, people would be blown away, you know, and it's incredible. And sometimes it's just how you package it, you know, and if you don't package it properly, people don't really realize how good it is. You know, it's just not catching their eye enough. So I think the one thing I'd like to see grow is just the promotion of our game, you know, and when you're scrolling through your phone, you can find so much content hitting you from the NCAA and from the NFL. And now you're starting to see more U Sport content, whether it's Persevere or you guys and different things like that. But the more, the better, because you get it competitive and you just get more people following our game. And our young kids in Canada growing up and dreaming to play at Queens just as much as Michigan State or Penn State or something like that. That's the goal. And I think we can actually pull that off just by pushing the content more, promoting the game, featuring the great players, the great schools, the great atmospheres. And sometimes it's just, you know, the angle that you snap that camera at, the angle that footage is rolling from, and you can tell the story completely differently. So I'd love to just see the, you know, people continue to invest in promoting the game and the schools putting out high quality content, and packaging this stuff up. And, you know, geez, you know, we might find ourselves starting to fill stadiums more and the viewership go through the roof. So I think we have something special here. Continue to make it a little bit better each and every day, whether it's through the way we officiate, the way we break down film, the way we record film, publish film, share film, the technology coming into the play, the player safety, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as our resident Queen alumni, Nate Hobbs, likes to point out, Queens has one of the best social media presences that U Sports has. I think you guys do a phenomenal job of showcasing all of the amazing things that you're doing, whether it's just a practice, whether it's a hype video, but it's just so clear how big of a football town just Kingston is in general. And, you know, Zach and I, through this media, you were talking about some of the dreams that we have and things. And I think ultimately what would be amazing is to have something of a College Game Day-esque for U Sports football. And could you imagine the atmosphere of doing a College Game Day in Kingston before a big football weekend? I think that would just, that more now than anything talking. Would showcase.
Yeah, now you're yeah, talking.
That would, that would showcase football on a national level, yep. Especially, like you said, with the history of Queens, with how much people care, the amount of people that even just came up to the two of us while we were at Richardson Stadium for the Vanier Cup saying, oh yeah, we listened to the podcast, we're so appreciative, whatever. It just showcases that people are starving for that content. I think, like you said, if it's packaged in the right way, we will find so many U Sports fans overnight. It just has to be sold in the right way. Not even sold, just showcased in the proper
way. Yeah, I agree. That, you know, that game day, you know, I never thought of that. That's actually a great idea. And sometimes you just gotta launch it, you know. And even if it's
we're working
10
on
people
it.
In the background, you know, and knowing one day it's gonna be 1,000, but sometimes just getting things you know, started and launched is half the battle. And I couldn't agree more. And Kingston and football is a big deal at Queens. You know, we've obviously been playing for a long time, and we had over 600 season ticket holders this year. And I got to imagine that's, you know, got to be top three or top five in the country. And, you know, that season ticket holder luncheon we do on Thursdays, and, you know, I got the show on Global and stuff like that. Clearly there's an appetite for Canadian University football in Kingston and at Queens. Our students love the team. We got tremendous support on campus. So it's just a great place, you know, to be, you know, for your experience with Canadian University football.
Well, Coach, and I'm stealing a line that Tom used, or I'm stealing a question, and you've given so much to be able to promote the school, but as the last thing I want to ask you, Coach, if you have your, what is your go-to pitch for young athletes, parents of athletes out there tuning and listening, of why they should be going to join your team in Queens?
Well, you know, Queens has always attracted some pretty exceptional people from across the world. Certainly, Queens football has attracted exceptional people from across the country for a long time. Seems like, you know, long before we were born, some of your best football players that were also, you know, inclined academically, they chose Queens and they came up to Kingston. And they clearly had a great experience, because in my 5 years as the head coach, I haven't, you know, talked to anybody who went here and graduated from here that didn't like it or doesn't rave about it or doesn't still wear the colors. We consistently rank as one of the best cities in the world and in the country to be a student. We consistently rank as one of the top experience schools and satisfaction schools for students. It's one of the hardest schools to get into. 95% of the students aren't from here. So why are they coming here? This is like their dream school. They could have got in anywhere and they're not from here. So they're here for a reason. This is where they want to be. And when you make a campus full of people that really truly want to be there, and they're not just there because it's their hometown or because it's their second choice, but this is their dream destination, there's a different vibe. And it's unlike anything I've experienced. And I've worked at a few schools, and this is unlike anything I've experienced. So you just create an environment that is like enjoyable. It's going to bring the best out in you. And then you package that with you know, the collection of human beings that we put into this locker room and the collection of coaches that we brought together from across the province and across the country, guys who have moved here to go all in, and the support that we get. You know, we were recruiting out of a construction trailer last year. My entire time here, we've been recruiting out of a construction trailer, and now we're not. Now we're in a new building, you know, and I think some people think that it's about the buildings and the facilities and stuff like that. I can tell you we were landing good recruits out of a construction trailer. So I think it's about the people, and we've always attracted some of the, you know, brightest and most talented people, and we're continuing to do that. And when you put a good process in place with the right people, that's where the magic happens. So, you know, we just have stuff that makes university football pretty special. And you can feel it when you're around our place.
I love that for so many reasons, but for the most part, all you were talking about is the university itself and the amazing attributes there. And I know, even just from our limited interactions, Coach, I know that you're a pretty humble guy, but I will pump your tires as well. This coaching staff that you have assembled at Queens is really, you know, it's up there with some of the best across the country here. You know, we mentioned Coach Beckmanis and Flaxman and Nesbitt and even, you know, some of the other guys that you have here. You've really done an outstanding job assembling some of the best in the U Sports football, not only from coaches, but also from players. You know, you had 5 All-Canadians this past year, and I would be remiss to not mention Ashton Miller, Melanson, not only being the outstanding football mind that he is, but a top 8 academic all-star in all of Canada across, almost 5,000 different student athletes. He is one of the top 8 there, not only as a leader on your team, but as an academic All-Canadian. Talk about that culture of not only having excellent players, but also having those academic All-Canadians with Ashton Miller-Melanson leading the way in that regard.
Yeah, we got an award here at Queens called the Nixon Award, and it's given to, you know, the top male student athlete academically. Now, a football player has won that 3 of the last 5 years. All right, that's not normal for football players to go and to you know, win that multiple times and whatnot. And now this year we go and we win the top male student athlete in the entire conference with the top 8 award. And that's the first time we've been able to do that, but those are some special accomplishments academically. So, you know, that goes back to your point, just about me talking about the university, like that's the selling point. You know, I think we all have our pitch in football, but what I can't control, what the recruit can't control, what their family can't control is how strong this university is and how strong this town is and what that experience looks like. And that's just where I think we separate ourselves from a lot of people. And that locker room, the intelligence in that locker room is pretty special. I'll tell you, when I first got here, you know, walking in the team meeting and just like, it doesn't take long to realize like, well, you're not the smartest guy in this room. Like, you know, so it's nice going into room and you're trying to coach these guys and they're all smarter than you. So that's Queens and I love it. And you know, who you surround yourself with is a big part of life. It's a big part of the growth. And obviously the young guys are going to grow a ton from their time at university. That window is big development window. And doing it surrounded by really high achievers, you know, guys who are on point academically, who just see the bigger picture and want to do great things. That's special because when you come back, you know, and you're around those guys you played with, your teammates, and you're all a little bit older and you're all loving life and doing really well. That's kind of what it's really about. You know, it's about being successful and being happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you've absolutely started, you have established that kind of mentality, obviously with the accolades that you just kind of mentioned there, but something that I wanted to also dive into as well. Yes, you're out in Kingston and some people might think, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere or whatever else, but you're actually in one of the best spots that you could be in terms of a football town. Because not only is Kingston football some of the best in Ontario, you're like 2 hours from Toronto with outstanding football programs that are out there. You're 2 hours or such from Ottawa with outstanding football programs there. And you're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Quebec for the CJET program and for the guys out there. So you have such a net of outstanding potential recruits just in the area, like the 2 hours surrounding your area that's here. Talk about that. And then also as a second part to that as well, with the Quebec changes in tuition, with how much more expensive it is for out of province students to go to Quebec and to go to university there, has that changed something of the recruiting landscape where when you're recruiting a guy and you might have to compete with either RSEQ that's out there, are they now a little bit more focused towards, hey, you know what, I think I'd like to save that extra $8,000 a year or whatever it is and stay in Ontario? Talk about the recruiting aspects that you have in that regard.
Yeah, well, just to speak of the area, Kingston's a really unique spot, as you said. We're a little isolated in the sense that, you know, we're a city and we don't bleed into other cities. Mm-hmm. All right, we are 2 hours from Toronto, 2 hours to Ottawa. We got our perfect little spot, nice little corridor up to Montreal. But when you're kind of isolated, where you don't bleed into other cities, you create an identity. You have your own thing, your own culture, and your own identity. And Kingston has that. Kingston's unlike anywhere else. And I think that's a good thing. And we don't have professional sports teams here. All right, we're 2 hours to the nearest sports team. That's why we have 600 season ticket holders. That's why I do a TV show with Global to talk about our football team. And the media is around all the time and the kids are running around with Queens jerseys. And when you go throughout the university, the football's running on the TVs and the jerseys are for sale and the t-shirts are for sale and people are wearing the colors. We got our own identity. We got our own sports culture here. And we got our own city. That's an incredible place to live. And we're pretty close to some football hopheads. So it definitely is becoming a little bit of a perfect storm for us. And I think it's well worth the drive, you know, whether it's 2 hours, three, four, five, wherever you're from, you got to jump on a plane. This is one of those destination places where you're going to be able to experience something that's just different from everywhere else because we got our own little culture here.
He is the head coach of the Queens, still in our books, Golden Gales,
and an OKG
in our books. Coach Steve Snyder, thank you so much for joining us, taking the time to talk about your program, bit of your experience in so many aspects of our great game here in Canada and, of course, abroad as well. And we wish you nothing but the most success in your off season leading into the upcoming OUA season this fall.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. You guys do a great job, and I love the product. Keep it up.
Much appreciated. Have a great night, Coach. And that wraps up episode 8 of the Exit Meeting. Me and Tom will be diving into, Tom, help me out. I think we're talking
the Windsor Lancers.
We're going to the other side of the province for our next episode to check in with the Lancers, a team that, of course, our guest today knows a little bit about as well. So we'll talk to you very soon right here at the 55.